The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment and comment line is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. In our last episode, we reviewed the results of a survey of IT service technicians who perform work for national contractors and service platforms. Participants were asked to rate nationals, such as Barrister Global Services and Endeavor, as well as web-based service platforms such as OnForce and WorkMarket, and rank them in their respective categories from best to worst. The results of the survey were published in a report that was released in tandem with The Force Field, Episode 62, and is now available on theforcefield.net. Today we'll talk with three IT service providers and ask them what they think of the data in the report, and if they think it is a fair assessment of the state of the IT service industry. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. The FCC wants everyone to be on gigabit Ethernet by 2015. At the United States Conference of Mayors winter meeting, January 18th, FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski called for at least one gigabit community in all 50 states by 2015. According to a press release issued the same day, Genachowski said that establishing gigabit communities nationwide will accelerate the creation of a critical mass of markets and innovation hubs with ultra-fast internet speeds. MakeUseOf.com is offering a free guide called Ubuntu, an Absolute Beginner's Guide. This 30-page guide will tell you everything you need to know about Ubuntu, a free open-source operating system with 20 million users worldwide. This guide is free to qualified professionals. To obtain your free guide, go to theforcefield.tradepub.com/free/w_make72 or click on the link in the show notes for this episode. Leap Motion announced plans to launch the Leap Motion controller exclusively at Best Buy this spring. The Leap Motion controller is a 3D motion control and motion sensing device that is 200 times more sensitive than current motion control technology and allows users to interact with a computer using natural hand and finger movements. The device has a 150-degree field of view and is capable of tracking all 10 fingers on individual hands at up to 290 frames per second. In a press release published January 16th, the company said the controller, which plugs into a USB port, will be available for pre-orders at Best Buy retail stores and at BestBuy.com in February, and is currently available for pre-order at LeapMotion.com. And finally, OfficeMax and GoDaddy have teamed up to offer website bundles to small and medium-sized businesses in the retail marketplace. Yes, you heard that correctly. OfficeMax is going to be a GoDaddy reseller, offering domain name purchases and hosting solutions in retail stores across the country. In a press release published January 17th, the Office Supply Chain said this deal makes them, quote, the exclusive nationwide retailer for GoDaddy websites and domain names, unquote. Interestingly, this arrangement allows OfficeMax to offer GoDaddy's domains and services in-store only. They will not offer them online, presumably to prevent direct competition with GoDaddy itself. On the surface, it sounds like a match made in Wonderland. However, according to GoDaddy, 70% of their customers are small to medium-sized businesses, which is also the market Office Max targets. Given that, such a partnership seems to make more sense. There's just one little thing to consider. How does the market feel about this? To the general public, this new arrangement probably means essentially nothing, except that they can now walk into an Office Max and buy a domain name or build a website instead of ordering it online. But would they do it? When you get the urge to check for an available domain name or build a website, does it make sense to jump in your car and drive to the nearest Office Max, or just search around the internet? Isn't it more natural and a whole lot faster to shop for domain names and purchase hosting solutions directly online rather than walk into a brick-and-mortar big-box store across town? Those are all interesting things to consider. But for those in the business of offering the same services and are part of the GoDaddy reseller program, there's a much bigger question to ask. How does this new partnership affect existing GoDaddy resellers? Well, to put it simply, you may now have some serious competition from a bigger brand with a lot more marketing clout. A lot of IT service providers also offer web hosting and design to their local customers in the same small-medium business marketplace serviced by office supply companies such as Office Max. And some of them are GoDaddy resellers. If you're one of them, this Office Max and GoDaddy partnership is something to consider as a potential threat to your local business. If you're a GoDaddy reseller and offer domain names, hosting, and website design services to customers in your local service area, get ready. You're now going to have a big box competitor in town, courtesy of your reseller partner. However, there are a couple of questions about this big box partnership that can actually give you a competitive edge, if you can provide the right answers. The first was already asked. Does a walk-in purchase of a cloud-based product or service make sense? Since the GoDaddy reseller program is internet-based, most of the resellers offer their rebranded domain and hosting solutions almost exclusively over the web, something that Office Max will allegedly not do. This may level the playing field somewhat and give the resellers who provide website design and consulting services to their customers face-to-face a slight advantage. The success of this depends somewhat on the next item, the question of pre-sale support. Historically, big box retailers are not known for their knowledge and experience with the more specialized products and services they sell. This isn't merely conjecture, it's a documented fact. Large retail stores sell tens of thousands of different products, items that they don't design and manufacture themselves. And while some employees can be trained to learn the basic attributes of a few specific lines or items, it isn't cost-effective or even feasible to learn them all. When it comes to tech-related items, most rank-and-file employees do not have the proper training or experience in IT to sell or even understand them, which means that they really aren't qualified to provide the guidance and consultation to meet the individual requirements and needs of most customers who are shopping for tech. For this reason, big-box retail chains are best suited for selling general consumables to the masses. They cannot recommend and offer advice on specialized IT-related products and services to small businesses effectively. This type of service requires a professional, qualified IT consultant. But it won't stop Office Max from trying. According to their press release, quote, "Trained Office Max store associates are available on-site to help each business select the GoDaddy website bundle that best meets their needs," unquote. Sort of like their PC repair service control center? Well, we'll see how that works out. And that's the news in the force field. There are many aspects of owning and operating a computer business. Unfortunately, the formality of paperwork is one of those that is often overlooked until the moment it's needed. Work orders, contracts, service checklists, and invoices are things every business owner needs, but doesn't always have the time, experience, or patience to create from scratch. And the legal documents, such as maintenance contracts, don't get me started on that. Fortunately, you don't have to start from square one. Bryce Whitty at TechNibble has just released a kit that has it all, the Computer Business Kit. The Computer Business Kit contains over 30 ready-to-use legal documents, computer business forms, and marketing templates to help you protect yourself and look professional. Invoices, terms of sale, maintenance contracts, it's all here in a compilation of easy-to-use and customizable forms and legal documents. But that's not all. The kit also includes 27 marketing templates, lists of suppliers in the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia, lists of computer recyclers, and discounts on many leading computer products. Bryce has already done the hard work of creating these templates, so you don't have to. All you need to do is replace the sample logo and contact details with yours, and you're ready to go. If you paid a lawyer to draft similar documents, it would cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars. With the Computer Business Kit, you can get started for only $99. The Computer Business Kit is instantly downloadable and comes with a money-back guarantee. And each purchase through the Force Field will help keep the Force Field podcast going and help keep the site online. To order the Computer Business Kit, simply go to technibble.com/AFF/Force Field. Or click on the link in the show notes in the RSS feed for this episode. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk or leave a comment to use in an upcoming episode, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698, or through Skype at Savoy Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field podcast episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free, so call in and dare to enter the Force Field. In the late summer of 2012, the Force Field conducted a survey of IT service providers and asked them to rate the national contractors and service platforms. The survey was intended to take the pulse of the national platform provider relationship and assess the state of the IT service industry. The results were collected, analyzed, and published in a 20-page report that is believed to be the first of its kind in the industry. In episode 62 of The Force Field, we analyzed the results of the survey and discovered just where this relationship stands. We learned about the techs who perform contract work for these companies, discovered which nationals and platforms rank best and worst in the industry, and found out what techs really think of them, in their own words. But is this report factual? Is the demographic data on the techs accurate? Were the nationals and platforms rated fairly? Or was the survey report completely off base? Today we'll find out what the techs think about the accuracy of the report itself. I've assembled a panel of three IT service professionals who represent a cross-section of technicians who actively perform contract work in the field. We'll ask them what they think of the survey data and if they think it paints an accurate picture of the techs, the nationals, the platforms, and the IT service industry as a whole as we conduct the National Contractor and Service Platform Report panel discussion. Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourselves and about your businesses. Dave?
Sure. My name is Dave Hayden. My business is Computer 911. I do on-site work for four businesses, no residential. I do server break fix, circuit turnups, a little bit of POS, and what other work comes along.
Okay. Parrish, you want to go next?
Yep, sure can. My name is Parrish Rhino. I am president and co-owner of Pathfinder Networks, LLC, out of Niles, Michigan. We're a regional, I guess the best way to call it, a value-added reseller. We have a retail storefront in Niles, Michigan, and we also support local small businesses. We're a small business specialist shop, Microsoft small business specialist shop. Probably 98% of our work we do is direct with customers, with our own direct clients. as far as national work, the only national I work with currently is ServeRight, and do a few calls a week with them. That's really it. I've got one other national I work directly with, but it's really not a typical national. It's a different type. I really can't say who it is. It's a pretty good deal that I don't want to risk.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah.
It's really not what I would typify as a national anyway. So it's really a direct customer that's nationwide, I guess is a better way of saying it. That's really it.
Okay. And Chris?
Yeah, this is Chris Tiffany. I own Sprinter Technology Services up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. We got, once again, like Parrish there, we got brick and mortar store over here, and then we got another store opening up in Wausau, Wisconsin here shortly. We focus on computer electronics. We're authorized agent for a couple of cellular companies, a lot of cell phone repairs, stuff like that, and do kind of the whole cellular, computer electronics, TVs, printers, pretty much anything technology related. Mm-hmm. Out of the stores there, we do a lot of graphic web media, print design, stuff like that, a lot of printing. Kind of keep it diversified like that. We got about 6 employees now and adding a couple more with the additional store opening up. So we're keeping it busy there as far as national work goes. We do a lot more than Parrish does, but kind of different stuff there. We do, I don't know, I'd probably say company-wide, maybe 4 or 5 calls a week total for the different platforms. Volume up here is exactly like it is in the bigger cities there, but it keeps us pretty busy. We land a couple of good gigs, just got done with remodeling a bunch of fast food restaurants for a couple of places that turned out pretty decent. You know, just a variety of different stuff, a lot of printers, stuff like that. So we keep pretty busy with all that, plus all of our, of course, direct customers, retail walk-in, as well as small business and mid-sized businesses regionally.
That's our panel. You're all pretty well established here, and you've done a mix of your own customers and work for nationals or platforms. And as you all know, we've just released the 2012 National Contractor and Service Platform Survey Report, and we covered it in episode 62 of The Force Field. And the report includes demographic data on the tech surveyed and a list of the best and worst nationals and service platforms as rated by these participants. And what I'd like to do today is find out what the service providers, the techs, that's you guys, think about the results and what kind of portrait it paints of the IT service industry as a whole. I'm going to ask 3-4 questions here, and we're going to go around the panel. And first, we're going to take a look at the demographic data about the providers themselves. Now, we asked each survey respondent what type of business they had, who owned it, how it was staffed, where it was located, and the total revenue received from nationals and platforms altogether. And we received some very interesting data on all this. Does it seem about right, this data? Is it about what you expected to see as far as who your peers, your competitors are?
Yeah, when I looked at the report, it was pretty much, especially the type of business and, you know, business ownership results, pretty much dead spot on what I thought. If anything, I was surprised that we had results of, you know, the S-Corp type, you know, the higher level, you know, anything above LLC, I guess. I knew there'd be some there, but I was surprised that if anything was as high as it was, like the S-Corp at 5.7%. But it's, you know, as far as a sole proprietor or partnership, that's pretty much where I thought. Mm-hmm. If anything, my only surprise, if you can call it that, would be the no business license result of 22%. I figured it would have been higher than that, if anything. But not, you know, it's not shocking that it's only 22%, but I would have thought it would have been a little bit higher.
Chris, what do you think?
I was pretty much the same as Parrish there. I didn't really expect much different as far as results go. The business license was actually about what I figured. Most people are, you know, sole proprietorship, or they kind of figured they fall into that mark. Yeah, S-Corps, that's about what it seems like out there. You know, there's enough mid-sized companies who do national contract work as well. You know, the number of employees, stuff like that. It about figured what most of us run into on a daily basis. Most other people that are taking national contract work, mostly, you know, sole proprietorship or just individual guys out of their house.
Actually kind of surprised me that there was the percentage point that there was that were out of offices or storefronts. I'm pretty sure locally about two out of, I think, about 30 other guys, two of us actually have like storefront offices. The rest are all, you know, just out of their house. But glad to see there are a few others out there who, you know, kind of have it more storefront office space wise. Surprised, I guess, at the 0.5% that go out of a warehouse or something there.
Now, did you expect that number to be higher or lower on the offices? Lower?
I expected it to probably be a little bit lower. Offices did, you know, about right there, 17.6% there. So it looks about right. Thought it might be a smidge lower, but depends, I guess, on who all, you know, where they ended up taking it, what they're doing. So.
Okay. Hey, Dave, to you, does that data seem about right? Is it about what you expected?
As far as the individuals responding to the survey.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one question was people that considered themselves their own employee. But other than that, it seemed pretty accurate.
You know, that question kind of threw me off, too, when I was going over the survey results, because it seemed like a lot of them really wanted to answer. And this was just my take on it, but it just seemed like some of them might have been counting themselves as an employee when they were talking at 1 to 5 employees, where the previous question was, you know, are you the only person there? So I think the number of people that are individuals and sole proprietors that are just doing it by themselves might actually be a little bit higher. But that's my take on it. And I guess the results can be interpreted a few different ways.
Well, I think that number is kind of soft anyway, because I bet there's a lot of sole proprietors that may have help on occasion, and they may consider that an employee. So that may be a soft number anyway.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Didn't really think about that. Well, we asked the survey respondents to rate the national contractors and service platforms from best to worst. Okay, first, let's cover the best. There were 10 nationals and 3 platforms that were ranked on top in their respective categories for best. Are there any companies on the list that you guys think were under or overrated on that list? We'll start with Parrish again here.
As far as the contractor list, the 10 best, I'm familiar with most of them. Not that I've worked with all of them. I have done work for Vital, Granite, and, you know, ServeRight I do quite a bit of work for still. Mm-hmm. The only one, I guess, that surprised me, the ones that stand out to me as a surprise are Granite and Vital both, to be honest. Not that they're bad. I'm just surprised that they rated as good as they do on here, because especially with Vital, you hear a lot of issues with calls where people are on hold for hours and hours, not with Vital themselves, but with the third party that's involved with that.
Right.
And then Granite, just because of pay issues and different things, or the rates, and I've never heard that a lot of positive about those two. You hear more negative. So I guess that's why I'm surprised that they're on the list at 5 and 6 as they are. Mm-hmm. I was going to say it too, as far as the platform results, the top 3 heavy work market show up as number 1 is definitely a shock. That's really surprising to me. I thought, you know, I figured OnForce would be number 1 just because that's kind of the consensus we hear in the forums, but I guess I'm just really surprised at those results of that one.
I think it surprised quite a few people, actually, that were in the forums, because you're used to hearing a lot of the comments in the forums that are not necessarily a positive from some people. But I think overall, from people that are using the platform a lot, I mean, we went across the spectrum on this. We weren't just getting people from the Force Field forums. We're getting people from everywhere. So, it is what it is. Chris, what did you make of all this?
I thought the list of the top 10 contractors there was rather interesting. I was really surprised that rollouts made it. In my experience, they're kind of, you know, they're the typical 25 an hour kind of lowball company there. I don't think I've ever done a ticket for them. Vitals, you know, not too bad. They were all right for us. Like, they kind of came in adorable there. I was also a little surprised that PCSOS ranked as low as it did from what I've heard about them, as well as Nexicor kind of was a surprise, I guess, up there a bit. They were, you know, too bad there. I was a little bit surprised a couple companies like Agilisys and a few of the other ones up there didn't make it into the list there. I guess enough people probably haven't worked with them. But overall, I mean, I know just from my experience, our company's experiences, you know, TechServe and Trextel and all those guys up there have been, you know, great customers of ours for a number of years and definitely given us hundreds of hours worth of work. So they've been pretty good for us up there, especially TechServe did a lot of full remodels for them. But as far as for the platforms there, I was a little surprised on Work Market. I'm not sure whether or not it's due to the number of techs who are using that platform versus the other ones or how that ended up coming out. I personally don't have a problem with their platform. There's a few things I don't like about it, but overall it does pretty good. I mean, it gave us quantity-wise about three times as many tickets this year as OnForce and about twice as many as Field Nation. So it's definitely a busier platform for us up here. But a lot more, you know, just singular one-off break-fix calls, not as much project work or large tickets. So it works pretty good there. Field Nation, I would expect them to be right there in the middle, thick of things there. Definitely would have expected probably OnForce to be on top, though. So that's a bit of a surprise there.
Dave, what was your take on it? Were you surprised at the results?
Well, yeah, as far as the contractors list, I guess, you know, I tend to be pretty picky about the work orders I accept. So my top contractors are companies that didn't even seem to come on the radar there. I've done in the past a fair amount of work for Trextel, and I think that was in the middle there. But CompuVision's probably one of my top three. Landtech, they're probably providing my most income right now. And, you know, several other small ones, Park Place Technologies, you know, really go above and beyond for me. I mean, they call before they send route the work order. Their pay rate is good. They're flexible. They're loyal. They, you know, like Park Place, for example, has a local storage unit, which the techs they use, they trust them with the, you know, security code. So that was surprising to me. As far as the platforms, yeah, OnForce would definitely be my number one pick. I definitely see probably 10 times more work there than anywhere else, especially if you're considering only the top-end stuff. The only thing I've been seeing on Work Market has been really low-end work, the iYogi stuff and the stuff that none of us really want to bother with. So maybe that's just a difference between areas. Field Nation, I haven't been real hot on. In the past, I've done a fair amount of work for them, but recently I just haven't gotten much of anything there that I was interested in.
Okay, we got the best ones. What about the worst? There were 7 nationals and 5 platforms that made the list of worst companies. Are there some here that shouldn't be ranked as high or low, or are there some that shouldn't be on this list at all, or some that aren't but should have been listed? Go ahead, Parrish.
For the worst contractors, the list looks pretty accurate to me. If anything, I was surprised that Barrister didn't rank higher in the worst list. I'm surprised they're right in the middle. I would have thought, you know, Contingent's pretty bad. I did some work for Contingent back years ago when they actually paid acceptable rates. It was still took forever to get paid from them, but at least it was acceptable. Now it takes forever and you don't get any pay. You know, the rate's horrible. But I'm just surprised, though, I'm surprised that in the middle of the list is iYogi and Barrister. I thought those two would have been probably the two worst maybe, you know, Texas Tech, I'm not familiar with them, but I guess, you know, from what I've heard, they're pretty rough. So I just figured, they said Western Yogi would have been worse in the list, but it doesn't surprise me that anyone that's on that list is actually on it.
Chris, what do you make of this?
Well, I wasn't too surprised about that list either. I guess out of all of them that we've dealt with, Nationwide ACS is about the only one we still do work for, but only via the platforms. And we haven't really had any major issues with them, but we've probably only done, you know, two, three tickets a year, if even that. They call us when nobody else will actually cover it. They pay our rates. Yeah, I mean, in my book, Iogi and Barrister pretty much make the bottom two. And we've never worked with pretty much any of the other ones on there just because, well, Endeavor has always got an add-out on Craigslist and they want to pay, you know, $18 an hour. And I'm like, yeah, my W-2s get paid more than that. So they're definitely drained out there. Nothing really of a surprise there. I guess, you know, I would have expected, I guess, yeah, about the same there. None of them that I see that are there, I don't think are undeservedly there. They all deserve to be down there. So I think it's a pretty good list.
Dave, would you have ranked the companies differently or would you have changed this list?
Well, honestly, I couldn't comment much on the list of worst contractors. I've worked for none of them. So I really have no experience with them other than what I hear, you know, secondhand. One other comment about the platforms. On the Field Nation forum, there was a lot of conversation that there had been big issues with Work Market as a platform, that Work Market may be moving away from the credit for new buyers and requiring payment up front, but we couldn't get that confirmed. But several of the techs there were saying that they had still not been paid for work completed through Work Market.
Okay. And what about the worst platforms? Were you surprised to see the names on the worst platforms?
I guess I'm in the category where I don't, you know, I don't do work for, you know, substandard contractors or platforms. So, I've got no experience there.
Now, why have you pretty much stayed away from them? Is it primarily because you've checked them out first and you've decided that they're not companies that you really want to do work for? Is that been your experience?
I try to give, you know, pretty much anybody a chance. But yeah, I mean, if the pay rate is horrible to start with, and if there's talk on the forums about how bad a company is, I mean, a lot of talk about it, I've just avoided them.
So companies like, say, Barrister or iYogi, that you hear about them and you say, well, I don't want to do work for them. So I've heard bad things, so I just don't want to do it. And of course, as you all know, that we do have the National Contractor Directory in the Force Field, and you can go to theforcefield.net and you can see a list of the major national contractors and service platforms there. You can see reviews of them. You can rate them. You can find all the contact info if you need to contact them. And that's really a good thing to do before you start working for them, so you can check them out first. And that way you can decide who you want to work for and who you don't. And I think that can prevent some angst for people. Gentlemen, what was your takeaway from the survey overall? I'll go with you, Parrish.
As far as the survey as a whole, really nothing surprising except for, like I mentioned before, that Work Market was rated the highest platform. Apart from that, everything was really kind of what I expected. You know, there's a few little things here and there, like, you know, the person or the few people that said they work out of a warehouse, you know, small things that really don't play impact in the survey itself as a whole, but it's, yeah, really nothing shocking. I mean, it's really kind of what I thought, you know, especially if you look at the revenue results, that's pretty much right on the numbers, what I would have thought as well. So yeah, I mean, it was a good survey, and it kind of just, I guess, confirmed more than anything what most of us already kind of knew, I guess.
Chris, what was your takeaway? Do you think it kind of paints a fairly accurate picture of what the IT service industry is like these days?
Yeah, I would say so. Once again, same as Parrish there, as far as the work market making the top there, I was not expecting that. But, you know, never know. Surprises around every corner there. other than that, pretty much everything is about the way I would have expected it. I think most of us who've been in the industry for a while, you know, as far as the makeup of the contracting companies, stuff like that, all that looks about the same. Things like, you know, the 75% revenue coming from contractors, you know, that kind of lines up with the number of people who just basically, you know, work on the side out of their house doing contract calls. That about works in with what most of us kind of figure as far as demographic goes. As far as, you know, best top service providers, all that looks about what I would have anticipated. It was a good survey. Glad to see it out there. Definitely provides a solid base to point to and draw off of as far as you know, rankings and whatnot. Glad to see it looks good, and I think it represents fairly accurately the IT contracting world.
Dave, what did you think of this?
Well, yeah, I agree with both those comments. It was a very informative survey, very helpful. Good to see the top contractors that, you know, I haven't done business with, just to keep my eyes open and you know, ears listening to, you know, for additional work. Work market was definitely a shock, and, you know, there's a bit of a rumble about that. But otherwise, yeah, great survey.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank our panel for taking the time to participate in the discussion today. And before we go, can each one of you give the name of your company and the URL to your website? Parrish?
Yep. The name of my company is Pathfinder Networks, and our website is www.pathfindernetworks.com.
All right. Thank you. Chris?
Yeah, it's Sprinter Technology Services, and the website is www.sprintertech.com. .us, and that's TECH.
Okay, great. And Dave?
Computer 911. My website is computer911online.com. I just have a placeholder up now, quite frankly.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, once again, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And y'all have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Sure. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May The Force Field be with you.